Let us say that
you are an infinite self made of the substance called spirit, with an infinite mind, infinite awareness of yourself. But somewhere down in a little place called Earth, there is a form that is walking around, and it says, "My name is Phyllis. My name is Edith. My name is Eugene. My name is Richard." And you want to talk to that little self down there because it doesn't seem to follow you very clearly. It has a will of its own. And you want to startle that little self. Wake it up, jolt it. You look down and you say, "Thou shalt not kill." The little self says, "Me? I'm not going to kill anybody. Don't worry about me. You must be talking to somebody else." "No, no, no, I mean you. Thou shalt not kill." And so we walk past. We don't hear that commandment. We have no intention of killing anyone. No one has to tell us that. Oh, but wait a minute. Do you know what I'm talking about, little self? When I say to you, "Thou shalt not kill," what do you think I'm talking about? What do you think I mean by killing? Well, you mean killing a person. No, I don't mean killing a person. This commandment is not about homicide at all. It's not about something you do with a weapon. It's something you do without even trying to do it. Something you do every day. This is the killing I'm talking about. Thou shalt not kill Christ. Well, I'm not even killing Christ. Oh, yes, you did it yesterday. You did it the day before. You killed your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and your child. And you're going to do it again today and tomorrow unless you stop and listen. Well, I listen. I gave you 5 commandments, says the voice. You said, "Oh, I understand them. I'm going to study them." That's fine. And meanwhile, you're going to kill. I don't understand what you mean, kill. Well, I'll spell it out for you, says the voice. I have commanded the universe, thou shalt not kill. Doesn't it seem strange that all around you, you see killing? Well, it does seem kind of strange. I've thought about it, but I don't have an answer. Well, think about it again. You see killing everywhere, and I have commanded, thou shalt not kill. Do you think I have given man the power to kill my creation? Ah, a light dawns. God has not given me the power to kill his creation. Then if I pick up a gun and shoot somebody, what am I killing? Not his creation. And if I kill truth, if I destroy anything, what am I destroying? Not God's creation. And there's only one creation. When you see killing in the physical world, you're not seeing the killing in God's creation. And behind that is concealed a great secret. What has the power to defy the command of God? Man has thought he had the power, but he hasn't. He has absolutely no power to kill divine creation. Thou shalt not. And God has the power to maintain and enforce that commandment. Then what are we doing out here? When we send boys to war to kill and be killed, are they defying God? No.
No, not a bit. What creation are they living in that they can kill? They're living in non-creation. They're living in a creation that is not the creation of God. The only thing they're killing is themselves. They are destroying their self. They are turning away from their self. They are in a state of self-destruction. This commandment is not about homicide, it's about suicide. And it has nothing to do with killing with a weapon. Nothing to do with material killing. It has to do with killing your own spiritual identity. Killing it is the same as denying the inner reality of the Christ. When you reject the Christ, you kill the Christ. Of course, the Christ doesn't die. You who reject the Christ die. And so we are learning that killing biblically means that only the dead can kill. The living do not kill. Only the dead can kill. And because life is eternal, wherever you see killing, you are seeing that which is not happening in life. Life is eternal. Nobody can kill it. The revelation of divine life as being beyond destruction is involved in this commandment. But you must come further and further into what is being revealed to you in this beautiful sixth commandment. You have been given five commandments, and now the Father says, these are the five commandments you must follow if you wish to walk in my kingdom. But you're going to think you're following them while you are doing things that are not following them. You're going to be ignorant of your own disobedience. You're going to kill Christ while you think you're following the five commandments. You kill Christ when you are ignorant of the presence of Christ. You kill Christ when you do not see Christ in yourself. That's suicide. And you kill Christ when you do not see Christ in your neighbor. This is all about spiritual killing. Not physical killing at all. And so when your infinite self says to the little creature self, thou shalt not kill, it is saying, recognize me. I in the midst of you. I everywhere as yourself. Recognize I in the midst of your child, of your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Or you're killing Christ there. You're turning away from Christ. And finally it dawns on you that unless you do something about it, you will kill Christ. You will deny the presence of Christ. Now we are caught, humanly, in an inextricable bond until we know certain truth. On the one hand, we are killing Christ until we know the presence of Christ. And on the other hand, when we are not consciously doing it, we are still doing it. And we don't know how to come out of that sleep until we recognize what is really happening. The sixth commandment recognizes this dilemma of the human mind. It doesn't want to kill Christ, but it does. It doesn't want to deny drink to Christ, but it does. It doesn't want to commit suicide, but it does. Because it has not recognized the infallibility of the divine self. It has not recognized the allness of the divine self. It has not recognized that the human mind is a house divided, still believing in spirit and matter. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how deeply you think, you still move in the belief of spirit and matter. And in the material creation, the killing occurs. In the material creation, the diseases and dilemmas occur. In the material creation, the disasters occur. But when you know the meaning of thou shalt not kill, suddenly it dawns on you there is a force working independent of you to place before you killing, disease, disaster. Things that are forbidden and impossible in creation, and that your function is to erase them from your consciousness. A little child, an infant, has legs, but it cannot walk. It has a mouth, but it cannot talk. A word here, a word there, a step here. But it must learn to talk, learn to walk. When you are aware of the power that causes the killing, the disease, the dilemmas, the disasters, the discords, you will see that they are the teachers of your soul. Just as you stand there with a rattle and shake it in front of the child to see if it can recognize color and hear sound and be attracted to the particular sound of it, so the world mind suddenly becomes revealed to you as placing before you the little rattle, and it's called the killer. It's called the disease, the disaster. And it's going to teach you how to walk in your soul. It's going to teach you how to talk in your soul. It isn't a negative thing at all. It's just the world mind seen from another point of view, placing before you that which cannot happen in the kingdom of God. And you are to look at it and say, but this cannot happen in the kingdom of God, and therefore it isn't happening. I will not be one who steals, because there is no stealing in the kingdom of God. What shall I steal? My own spirit? What shall I covet? There is no matter to covet in the kingdom of God. How can I commit adultery in the spiritual kingdom? And therefore, to kill, to steal, to covet, to commit adultery is obviously that which happens in a material creation. And the consciousness which still believes in spirit and matter lives in the material creation. And these are the signs of living in the wrong creation. It's not that they're immoral that concerns us. What concerns us is to live in the spirit. We'll be moral enough there. Thou shalt not steal. What is there to steal? Matter. That's all you can steal. And there isn't any. Oh, you think it's there, but that's killing the Christ too. Stealing is killing. Adultery is killing. Coveting is killing. You're killing the allness of God in your consciousness. If I believe in spirit, I must be faithful to spirit. If I believe in matter, I am faithful to matter. If I believe in both, I'm a house divided. We are unfaithful to the Spirit of God when we still maintain the belief in the existence of matter in which killing appears, in which stealing appears, in which error and imperfection appear. These cannot appear in the creation of God, and if we see them and believe them or commit them, we are in a state of adultery. Now, what about our children? If we are in a material sense, we're automatically in a state of adultery. That is all material sense is, a state of cosmic adultery. And if we are in that state of material sense, the children who are our consciousness up to the age of 12 and 14 are going to be in a material sense, and we are therefore, without realizing it, teaching them to kill the spirit of their own being, to commit adultery. A child of 10, a child of 5, which is unaware of the allness of spirit, is committing adultery. It has nothing to do with the male and the female, nothing whatsoever. We're talking about spiritual adultery, spiritual stealing, spiritual coveting. That which we all do in a divided consciousness. And the one who breaks the commandment of God is not you. You never commit adultery. You never kill. You never steal, and you never covet. And that's the secret behind these four commandments. You don't have the power to do it. You are the Spirit of God. But the world mind does appear to do that which is forbidden in the kingdom of God. Independent of you, the world mind kills. Every killing on this earth occurs through the world mind. It seems to be an outlet through a person, but it cannot be an outlet through the Spirit of God. And in your knowledge of the allness of God, the killing which occurs in the physical world is recognized by the enlightened, by those who have received the word, as the world mind appearing as. The world mind which kills is the world mind which creates that which it kills. And even though it's hard to swallow at first, these physical forms which are vulnerable to all of the imperfections and atrocities of this world are only vulnerable because they are the creation of the world mind. It creates them, it destroys them. It borns them, and it buries them. And that is the reason for these four commandments, to alert you to a great extent to the knowledge that as long as you live in the world mind, you will not obey the first five commandments. You can't just blithely go home and say, I understand. It won't let you. It's a stop. Find your life. Find the life of your child. Find the life of your husband and your wife. Find the life of your parents. Don't go right on making yesterday's mistakes. The life of your child is eternal. The life of your parents is eternal. The life of your husband and wife is eternal. Your life is eternal. To turn away from that knowledge is to kill that life. Your separation from the truth of your being is killing. And you cannot simply say, I know that, and forget it. You must know it consciously, minute by minute and hour by hour, until it's as normal as breathing. The only life there is eternal. It can never be killed. And I cannot kill it by lack of recognition. And so my child, becomes something very, very different, not just something to love. My child is a beautiful divine message. And when you look at your child again and again and again with the knowledge that this is eternal life appearing, you will learn something that you cannot even learn by thinking about yourself. The child is your teacher in a million ways. And you're willing, because you love that child, you're willing to look and to listen and to probe deeper. You're not in such a hurry when you're thinking of your child as you are about the rest of the world. And that's where you can study eternal life. That's where you can find things that your soul will recognize that your mind would never know. Thou shalt not kill the Spirit of God within yourself by turning away from it. Give it to drink. Recognize it. Nurture it. Love it. Let it bless you. Feel its presence, its power, its life-giving substance, its glory, its honor. And then you are obeying, thou shalt not kill. You can kill with ignorance just as you can with a sword. The world mind never turns off. It's always spinning like a clock. It doesn't even need anyone to wind it up. It's perpetual motion. And it is your trainer. It is going to come through as your mind until you are forced to flee from it and to flee into your own soul. Nothing is turning off that world mind until you move to the higher ground of soul. It is inoperable in your soul. It controls not only your thoughts, but it controls your form in your mind. We think of our mind as perhaps controlled by the world mind or influenced by it. But it's quite different than that. Our bodies are controlled by the world mind. Our bodies are completely controlled by the world mind. It controls your heartbeat. It controls every breath you take in and exhale. It controls the way you walk and talk and think and speak. Controls your pulse beat. And as long as you live in this form, you are a child of the world mind and you are killing Christ. I have to go back to the Sermon on the Mount for this. Agree with thine adversary. I want you to see that this is the world mind. Agree with thine adversary quickly. And the world has not recognized that the adversary is the world mind. We have, but we forget it. The ocean roars up to the shore and erases the letters written in the sand. And we forget it. The world mind erases in our mind that which we want to remember. It has that beautiful trick of letting us think we know something, only to discover we didn't really. Agree with thine adversary. The world mind brought you into form. You don't come to grips with that, do you? You know you do only when it's brought up, and then you promptly forget it in less than a week. It's normal, because the world mind forgets it. The world mind is doing the forgetting and the remembering. It's not enough to remember, to memorize. Now you've got to take into your meditation, agree with thine adversary. You've got to get this knowledge beyond the level of the mind, or the ocean's going to come up to the shore and erase it right in the sand again. The world mind is the only adversary. And when it's recognized as your adversary, it becomes your teacher. It's no longer your adversary. It's your adversary until you know it is present. And when you know it is present, it becomes your ally. It places in front of you that which is not. My child is sick. Who said so? The world mind said so. And your little mind, obeying the world mind, says, my child is sick. But your infinite self is saying, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What child is sick? Did I create a child that could be sick? Look again. Look into the life there. Is it sick or is it divine? You know, no one's going to do that but a mother or a grandmother, a grandfather, a father. Someone who loves that child will look deeper and see the life. And suddenly it opens. There it is. Life. Life. Perfect. Perfect life. You're not seeing what human eyes see. You're seeing with a different level of yourself, something that isn't visible. And that is inner vision. That is soul vision. And that soul vision can stand in the face of the world mind, which is, my baby is sick, and you'll say, well, maybe yours is, but not mine. My baby isn't sick. My baby is the perfect divine image and likeness of God. Now, that little 5-6 pound form there, that 7-8 pound, 10 pound, 12 pound, 20 pound form, 30, 40, no matter how high up you go, it's always the same. It isn't changing. It isn't changing day by day. It is eternal life. It always will be. It isn't a temporary something. It isn't finite. It isn't that size. That's eternal life. And it is infinite. And I'm looking at infinity with my soul, not finitude with my eyes. What is my adversary going to say about that? I'll tell you what, your adversary is going to pat you on the back and say, at last I reached you. At last you came above me. You agreed with me quickly on the way. Agree with thine adversary. Come to terms with thine adversary. Understand thine adversary. Don't fight it. Learn how to shake hands with it. Agree. Your adversary is painting the false picture that you may rise above it to see that which is invisible to human eyes. Everywhere you go, that's what's happening. And so, in the world of stealing, again, that's your adversary. Your adversary knows that you will think that is something over there that you want. But you're being trained that that which you're going to seek and want over there, you have over here, and in an even greater quantity. And after a while, you get the idea that the purpose of the lure is to make you stop and say, wait, now, wait, Mr. Adversary. Something is tempting me to go there. It must be you working in my mind to tempt me in that direction. Well, thank you. Thank you. You're calling to my attention the fact that right here, that which I want to get there is in greater quantity, and I'm not tempted. And this is soul vision, because my eyes don't see that. My eyes cannot see that I have more here than I am tempted to reach out for there in the material world. And finally, I get the idea. The material world is my temptation. I am being tempted to reach into the material world and to draw things to myself. And after I fail in that many, many times, I learn that that which I have sought in the material world is but a counterfeit of what I already have in the creation of God here and now. I have it. And here I'm being tempted to reach out for something that I already have. But I don't know I have it because I'm using the world mind as my mind. Because I only have eye vision instead of soul vision. And so every temptation accepted is the hypnotism of the world mind, and every temptation overcome is the purpose of the temptation, because that is soul vision overcoming temptation. Soul vision saying, I will not kill Christ. What shall I steal when God has given me all that I have? All I can do when I steal is to deny the word of God, the truth of the word of God. So this, the sixth commandment, is teaching you to agree with thine adversary. Don't be caught in that wedge. All is spirit. Who's being killed and who's doing the killing? The world mind. Can you come above that into my kingdom? Can you leave that false sense of self which lives in a world where people are doing that which is impossible in reality? Can you come above that false sense of self? That is agreeing with thine adversary. Quickly is a double word. It not only means instantly. In fact, it's a triple word. It not only means instantly, it means you must be quickened within in order to do it. And it also means that if you are alert, the presence of that which is unlike God will quicken you by soul vision. The very temptation is the quickening agent, if you are alert. And that is how every wrong becomes a right. The instant you see imperfection, quickly realize it cannot be there. World mind is presenting the illusion to you. And whenever you have really done that, you have seen the miracle, haven't you? The illusion is presented, and without even giving it much thought, you right there are aware of the presence of the perfection of God, and without going through the 1, 2, 3, 4 process, you have agreed with thine adversary quickly. And oftentimes, that's just the first stage of a preparation for something bigger. And when it rumbles in the next day, you say, thank heaven that happened yesterday, because it prepared me for this. Always this coming into you in sequential waves. Each temptation is preparing you for a higher level of resistance, of awareness, of non-reaction. The big ones come later. But you have to go through each of the lower ones. And then, in the sermon, it goes on to explain to you why you must agree quickly with the world mind, come to grips with it, understand that it is presenting imperfection, that there is no power of imperfection. It is presenting a complete mirage to you. It is presenting the mirage of form to you. And if you think the form is there, but not the condition in the form, you're wrong. The condition is non-existent because the form is non-existent. Something else is there. Spiritual identity is there. Spiritual life is there. And last night we learned that spiritual manifestation is there. And when you deny spiritual life, spiritual manifestation, spiritual identity there, you are killing that which you think you love. I hope this is getting home to you because it's the purpose of our seminar. To awaken us to our own mistakes. To show us how to really love God supremely. And so I will repeat for you, a loving mother can kill her child. An enlightened mother does not. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Recognized that the entire world around you is a creation of the world mind. All of it. If you see the world and accept the world where the kingdom of God is, you are in a state of adultery. If you see humanhood where divinity is, you are in a state of adultery. If you see imperfection where perfection is, once more, adultery. Your fidelity to the truth is the only thing that takes you out of adultery. Humanhood is adultery. Automatically. Divided living. So many just live in matter hoping that someday when they die they'll enter spirit. They live complete lives in adultery while thinking they worship God. Thou shalt not commit adultery is far deeper than the human interpretation. Coveting, of course, is so clear. The only thing you really covet is something material. And it isn't there. You can covet it until you pass out of this picture and all you've got is that which you coveted and you're not there. Coveting is a completely gross awareness of the material world only. It's the Hetty Green instinct in us, polishing apples with $1 million in the bank. We covet things, we become possessive. Instead of enjoying what we have, we covet it. We seek more to covet. We envy. We become jealous. We hate. We fear. All of these are part of the covetousness of the material mind. It's just a level of material sense. Now, when we rid ourselves of material sense and are in the spiritual realm of awareness, looking at light, we feel the harmonies of that light, the joys of that light, the exquisite beauty that was unseen to the covetous mind. And the reason we now feel these things in a different way is because the world mind is no longer possessing us. We have been released to another way of experience. We have suddenly changed channels. We're in the soul. The soul lives in the kingdom. The world mind confines us to the world. When we live in our soul, we perceive the reality that the eye did not see. We see that God, Spirit, truly is the invisible substance of all visible form. We see that the law of perfection is the law of all invisible form. We see peace everywhere. We see a peace that is beyond the understanding of the world mind, and a peace that cannot be in any way altered or influenced by the world mind. The world mind cannot enter the real spiritual peace. And again, we see the wisdom of Spirit. Just as we could not walk in the kingdom of God in physical form, world mind cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when our consciousness lives in the kingdom of reality, then the form which had been the servant of the world mind becomes the servant of the kingdom of God. And expresses all that is in the divine consciousness. Quickly means before world mind penetrates and sways you, influences you, commands you, and forces you into disloyalty to your own being. We learn in this little verse in the Sermon on the Mount that every trigger that is pulled by a human finger is pulled by the human mind. And that human mind is just a servant of the world mind. When the Father says, "Thou shalt not this and thou shalt not that," and you look around at a world in which all of it is going on, and then accept that as reality, you have said God has no power. God is completely powerless. Here's God, the Almighty, saying, "Thou shalt not," and everybody goes around doing it. And we have not stopped and said, "Well, wait a minute, it's impossible. How can we all go around doing what God told us not to do? Are we more powerful than God? Why hasn't the church told us this? Why hasn't the church said, God said you cannot kill, and how can you be doing it?" The church doesn't say that. It says God gave you the option to kill. God gave you the option to steal. God gave you the option to commit adultery and to covet. and said, don't do it. And if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. But that isn't it at all. That's not even God, is it? I am omnipresent. I am omnipotent. Would you say to your child, now, don't kill anyone today? How ridiculous. Why do we think God would do less than we would do? I can't conceive of any mother saying, and don't steal today. No, God was showing us that these cannot happen in his creation. But his creation is my creation. And if they happen in my creation and not in his, I'm in the wrong creation. I'm living in the wrong place. And suddenly, when I really believe God is God, I have to see the world as imaginary. It cannot exist. It's doing all the things that the omnipotence of God prevents. What is it? Picture in my mind. A world mind picture which I have been foolish enough to accept because I did not love God. I did not understand God. I understood some religious concept about a God who might punish me if I did these things he told me not to. And there never was such a God. There wasn't even such a me. There is only the pure divine self. Now what is the adversary going to do? Well, if you won't kill and you won't steal or covet or commit adultery, he'll get you another way. So he's going to look around. Now he comes up with a problem, a disease. Oh, I got this terrible disease. It's called this or it's called that. And I fall for it. Sure, I've got that. The doctor says so, he says so, that one says so, and I feel terrible beside. Now I'm worrying just how long I'm going to be here. 6 days, 5 days, 4 days. Why? Because I've got this thing. You see, world mind knew I wouldn't kill. I wouldn't steal. I wouldn't commit adultery. I wouldn't covet. But it got me at home where it hurts, and now I've got it. And all I've got is world mind. And so when you realize that killing is the prime one that really includes everything else that world mind will throw at you, you're really seeing there that all that is imperfect, all that is unlike God, all that is material, all that is a condition in matter, all that is error, all that is evil, all that is temporary, all that changes, all that is not eternally perfect, is a world mind picture. And you've got to go within and set up your conscious awareness of this truth again and again and again, because world mind is a very tricky fellow. He could even fool Adam in the Garden of Eden that he was in hell. It'll come at you, as you know, in many, many disguises. But if you know that you are the Spirit of God, that this must be heaven, the living kingdom of God, that you must be the one invisible infinite self now, you're fairly well prepared for Mr. World Mind.